together. Merciful Father, again, we are very thankful that you have given us this opportunity to assemble in this sacred and holy place and to again search the scriptures that we would find life. We pray, God, that these words will certainly, Lord, be planted in us and bring forth needful fruit for kingdom building. We pray, God, that we would be attentive to what you are saying to the church, and that we would announce to the world that Jesus is Lord. Use us, Lord, we pray mightily in our various walks of life, and help us, Lord, to fight the good fight, even as we are oftentimes disappointed or even discouraged, even sometimes seem to be needlessly delayed. Lord, give us the fighting power that we need. In fact, Lord, we are reminded, as Paul told Timothy, we've got to endure hardness as a good soldier. So we are well aware of the fact that difficulties will come. We will not think them strange, Lord, when things happen to us that are out of the ordinary or even unusual. We will recognize this as our assignment battle, and we're going to fight the good fight. We pray, God, that others will join with us, and that they too would open their eyes and their ears to hear what you are saying to the church. We pray, God, that these messages, as they go out even over the airways, that lives will be changed, even lives that we've never encountered, those that we've never met, those we don't even know. They'll hear what you are saying to the church, to the world, and they will be convinced that Jesus is Lord and follow you in the way. This is our prayer, and we must ask that you forgive us of our sins. Pray, God, that you would have mercy upon us. Cleanse us, we pray, from the unrighteousness of this world. This is our prayer. This speaks, Lord, to our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Let's go again, Titus chapter 1. Again, we're looking, we closed out last week talking about our practice life and understanding truth and balance and trying to be the demonstration of discipleship. I don't know if I actually gave you that term, but that was the term I had down there, the demonstration of discipleship. Here again, we are on a big advertising campaign. And those of you who remember, and I'm sure you haven't forgotten because it has not been that far removed, but during the political process, we just got saturated with commercials. And we just got sick of them. You know, I mean, Romney, Ryan, Biden, Obama, Kane, Allen, just Douglas, everybody had, and then they would close out by saying, I'm so-and-so and I authorized it. Okay, that's fine, all right, but we got sick of that. But really, as a Christian church, we're authorized by God to push the gospel. And we have to be a demonstration of discipleship because, again, one of the primary things, and we've talked about this a lot over the years, one of the primary things we have to recognize is that people judge us by our character. They don't really look at, you know, how we dress a lot, but they do, but not how much money we have, you know, but they look at our character. So we have to recognize that part of our responsibility of building this good spiritual foundation is to look at discipleship demonstration and to look at what it requires of us in relationship to how well we know God. Those of you who've read your Bibles, and I pray that most of you have, but you do know that there are a certain group of gentlemen that are identified as the Sons of Thunder. And that's because they spent more time intimately with Christ Jesus. So a little bit more was expected of them. A little bit more was reflected through them because they really had that kind of inside track with God. And we all want to have that inside track with God. So with Peter, James, and John, it's a little bit different. But the fact of the matter for us is if we don't know the Lord very well, we're not going to be good discipleship demonstrators. And it's nobody's fault but our own that we don't know him very well. So what we have to recognize is that this relationship thing is very important for us. Now, as we start to look at it, Paul makes a very dynamic statement of dialogue in his dialogue with Titus in this particular writing. And he tells him, he said, there's some things that I just expect of you. And really, God has expectations on all of our lives. And please hear me well. I've said this before. Because you're not a minister or a deacon or have some title in the church, don't mean you can just live any kind of way you want to and just show up on Sunday and think everything's just fine. God has expectations on all of our lives. Brother Lloyd, it's good to see you, man. I was just asking about you. Amen. So it's critical for us to understand that. And this responsibility rests solely with the individual. We are not, any of us are not going to be able to get to heaven and blame the ministers or blame the pastors, you know. So don't make that your excuse for not living and learning. As I said before, whoever's teaching, if they open up this book and teach sound doctrine, we ought to be able to say amen. So we have to recognize that what God is saying. So let's look at what he's telling him, which is very critical. Let's look at, what is that? Stop doing that. Let's go to, we're in chapter 1, and he says, this letter, verse 1, he says, this letter is from Paul, a slave of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent to bring faith to those God has chosen and to teach them, watch this now, to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. There are a lot of things said in that verse. He's on assignment, and I keep telling all of us that we're on assignments. All of us are on assignments. Our assignments are not optional, but obligations. If you tie in Matthew's gospel, when he said, listen, you go therefore and make sure the whole world knows, he's talking to all of us. There's not a clause in that verse that says, okay, this line is just for the ministers, the deacons, the leaders. That verse is for everybody. Everybody got their head down now. I'm serious. Everybody. He said, all right, so now he's saying it again. Excuse me. He says that we would go forward and ensure that we are developing faith. Faith where? To those among us. Let me tell you something. How the church either functions or fails affects our faith. Mind you well, how the church functions or it fails affects our faith. Because, you know, I mentioned this in the meeting the other night with the finance people. It is ridiculous for us to think that anybody's going to follow us if we don't know where we're going. And if we keep making promises about vision and mission and ministry and we don't ever do anything, that's going to affect people's faith. They're going to think we're a bunch of clowns. We have to demonstrate by doing the ministry, doing the vision, because the world is looking at the church. When everything else goes belly up, the church is going to still be around. It's in the promise of God. So we're not going to live by faith, and you know, the just live by it. Nobody's going to believe us. So we have to develop our faith. And as the now entity of God, we're the ambassadors of Christ. If we cannot demonstrate that, we're not bringing faith to anybody. We're not developing faith. We're creating hypocrisy by lying to ourselves. You know, one of the scripture lessons we read in Christian Academy the other night, Peter reminds him. He said, listen, we weren't trying to be cunning or clever. We just told the truth. We just told the truth. And if anybody didn't believe that, shame on them. And so what he says is, I'm bringing it, watch this now, to those God has chosen. As I said to you before, and I'll say to you again, you don't need to go to nobody's convention, nobody's seminar, get no line for nobody to lay hands on you to be chosen of God. You don't need nobody looking at you and say, I believe the Lord is calling you to nothing. You've already been chosen. All they're doing is putting handprints and oil on your head, and some of y'all got oily skin. You don't need that. You don't need to wait for them to tell you you're anointed. You're already anointed. I've got good news. You're anointed. Now what you going to do? Everyone in this room must understand the word of God is to you. These letters are to you. And he says, I'm coming to buoy up the faith, to strengthen the faith of those who have been chosen by God. And because God chose us, we need to be doing something. Those of you who are in supervisory roles, or those of you who own your own businesses or whatever, you don't hire nobody to do nothing. You don't hire people to just sit around. When you hire them, they go to work. You may give them a little training period, a little slough time when they first get hired. But after a while, you say, look, man, you've been around here long enough. You got to go to work. I'm going to have to get somebody else. The most damaging words in your employment is, I'm sorry, we're going to have to let you go. Nobody wants to hear that. We really thank you for your time. You know what? God is going to be firing us around here. We don't get to work. Now watch what he said. The next part gets very deep. He says, watch this. And to teach them to know. Now watch this now. It's one thing to teach the truth. It's another thing to know the truth. It's twofold, to teach them to know. You know what's happening in the church? We got a whole lot of folks showing up for teaching. Not a whole lot, a whole lot. But we don't have a lot of folk that demonstrate they know the truth. How do you know that? Because we keep seeing critical compromise. People are making critical compromise. Look around this room. That's a critical compromise. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We only got one baby in the room right now. And under the good leadership of her father, she'll learn the truth too. But he said, we're going to teach them to know the truth. Because what did the truth do for everybody? Make us free. Notice how he introduces the letter. He said, I was a slave. But I'm free now because I know the truth. Not because I bought my way out. Not because I went to a certain synagogue or temple. I met Jesus. You remember, this is the same guy that said, everything I had before Christ is junk. You know, we ought to learn how to live like that now. We should make those same declarations of our commitment to Christ. But some of us are still enamored with our job and our title and our properties. He said, everything I had is worth nothing compared to Christ. Boy, that's Matthew 6 right there, ain't it? That's seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will come back to you. Did Paul ever sound poor to you? He whined a little bit sometime, though. I'll give it to you. That was just Paul. He had a little whine in the spirit. They done all left me. Alexander the coppersmith has done me great harm. Okay, so what? I'm here in Crete all alone. Bring my books. Go to Troas and bring. Okay, Paul. I guess John Mark said, good Lord, let me get these books and stuff. And he want that coat. What is bring my coat? He was cold. That's what it was. They won't let the heat come on down here. So it's important for us to understand. He says, listen, they got to know truth. And then here's the thing. That's our operating principle. Remember, we keep talking about it because we work in the truth. If there's any place that the world is going to find consistency, it must be the church. Our integrity, our discipline, our discipleship lives. You know, we've talked about a lot of these things. Those things make us the church. This building does not make us the church. A lot of heathens come in this building and will never be the church. We're not going to run them away because of that clause of whosoever. But we'll know the truth and we'll know the tree. We'll know disciples. That little girl looked at Peter and said, oh, you one of them. He lied. Then again, they said, you one of them. He lied. Then again, you one of them. Then he went to cussing. So you know what, I'm about sick of this stuff. Miss Davis ain't here yet. Let's talk like we want. The reality of it is, he says, all right, watch this. Then he says, that shows them how to live. This is the critical part. How to live godly lives. Remember now, Peter would say in his writing that we've got to be holy because the Lord is holy. Who's going to teach us how to live godly lives? Do they teach that at the seminary? Not really. Do they teach that at Lynchburg College? Is it a Genworth employee requirement? Is it at Walden Pond? J. Crew, do you all have a time period of new diplomas? No, nobody. Nobody's teaching this but the church. Sadly, let me ask you a question. You work in the human resource area, don't you? Training, sort of. Okay, so if people don't come to training, do they get to keep their job? Wow. Wow. At Genworth, do people don't come to training, new employee orientation? Do they get to keep their job? No. How about at Lynchburg? No. Well, why is it in the church you can opt out of training and still call yourself a Christian disciple? If you don't get hired by J. Crew, can you say you work at J. Crew? If you don't get hired at Genworth, can you say you work at Genworth? No. Can I say I work at Lynchburg College? No. I got friends there. But does that help? No, it doesn't, does it? So maybe we got a problem in the church. How can we say we are Christians if we're not trained to be Christians? That's why we don't like the word discipleship. We like to be members. See, members, I don't have to do nothing. But discipleship requires training. Training. Wow. I've hit on to something. Could it be I'm the only pastor that knows this? What's wrong with our church? People don't understand. If you're going to learn to live a godly life, you got to be in a place where we teach godly living. Do people at J. Crew care if you're a Christian? No. Is that a requirement to get hired? No. How about at Walden Pond? Do you have to be a Christian to work there? No. No. How about down in Denton? No. Well, I've discovered something afresh. To be in Christ, you need to be a Christian. Jesus said, them that are going with me are doing what I'm doing. The others have deserted me as well. He said they didn't like this kind of living, so they walked away. Well now, have we hit on to something wonderful? Godly living is taught in the place where God is. So Paul said, Titus, here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to go and teach folk how to live. Let's go to verse 15. Good morning, Sister Scott. Thank you for your service. Verse 15 says, everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving. Watch this, because their minds and consciences are defiled. See, he told them, right? There's the problem. Everything is pure to those whose lives. Don't you feel a little different about how you live? Aren't there certain things in your life now that are truly holy unto God? Isn't that how we love one another a little differently? And that's how they called us Christians at Antioch, because they saw that we were different. Everything. We treat every. That's why we don't kick the dog and flush the goldfish. That's why we respect each other. That's why we care one for the other. Because everything about our lives now under the light of God is different. Come on, we remember, and Paul's going to show it to us in a minute. We're going to read it because it's the truth. He's going to bring it around. He said, listen, what I'm saying now is, of course, about higher level living and learning and understanding. He said, but I'm going to be honest with you. And he's going to show his honesty here in just a minute. And we're going to all have to say amen. Watch what he says in verse 16. Such people, this is a nail cruncher here. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by the way they live. There it is. He just told him earlier to teach godly living. Bring faith to those God has chosen. Teach godly living. And now he come down and said, listen, there's a difference between them and us. We've been doing it in noonday, talking about our separation lifestyles. He said, listen, they claim to know him. We hear it all the time, especially when they want something from the church, especially when someone has died, or someone is sick, or someone's bill needs paid. I belong to Brookville. I've been in church all my life. Your church must be on the move. You must have a mobile church, because we haven't seen you. They claim to know God. Don't tell them when they hear this and y'all report the message. I read it from the book. I didn't make it up. I'm not trying to start no trouble. It's right in the book. Such people, he said, they're those who do that. But everything is pure to those whose lives are pure. There's a difference between us and them. He said, and they claim to know God. He said, but by the way they live, you can see that they have defiled lives. And we have a right to call that into accountability. We don't have to worry about trying to badmouth nobody or thump nobody. We can just use the word. And so, you know, the Bible says that based on what you are doing, based on your actions, based on your defiance, your absence, that you're living a defiled life. You don't tell me, no, that's what the word of God says. And he said that they are despicable and disobedient, worthless for doing anything good. That's why oftentimes we have difficulty getting people to rise up to service levels. They don't want to do anything good. But if you want to start some mess with somebody, bet you can get some comrades in. I'm going to go down. Yeah, I'll go with you because I've been meaning to get some of that myself. Yeah, I'll help you. That's not the life we want to live. We have to hold our peace. That means you got to get a grip. He said, listen, this is the lifestyle variable that we're looking at. For us, it's one way. For them, it's another way. Now, watch what he goes on. He says, come over. He said, chapter 2, verse 1. He said, listen, but as for you. Now, this is where our assignment comes in. This is where our Christian requirements come in. This is to each of us. But as for you, promote the kind of living that reflects right teaching. There's a tie-in to chapter 1, verse 1. He said, listen, you've got to promote it. You've got to encourage. That's why we keep putting it on the board, and that's why we keep saying, come to Bible study. Come to Christian Academy. We're promoting it. Again, part of the process of getting people to do anything is good advertisement. How many of you listen to Vibe 100, the radio station? Okay, back a few months ago, when that knucklehead, what's his name? I don't really care for him. But the comedian was coming to Roanoke. Day-Day or Baby, whatever his name, Baby, a.k.a. Baby Powder. What's his name? Mike Epps. But yeah, he was coming. They advertised that to death over and over and over. And he's on in the opening, I'm coming to your town. Get ready. And then he had the little line in there about the washing machine and Shaniqua and his little snippets of his jokes to encourage us to come. It was advertisement. They started advertising way back in June for a concert or a comedy act that was going to be in October. They were promoting it. A fighter is pushed by a promoter. Don King is one of the most well-recognized. Don King ain't never fought nobody, but he's a promoter. He drums up the energy. He starts little rumors and lies about one fighter said this. He had Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier pepped up so hard that we couldn't help but want to see the thriller in Manila and the beat down in D-Town and all. You know, because he promoted it that way. He would stand there between them. He'd be the buddy to this one week. And he'd be having his arm around Ali and his arm around Frazier, arm around George Foreman and arm around Buster Douglas. He was a promoter, and we bought in. Don King was the initiator of pay-per-view. And we bought it. He brought the first million-dollar fights on the scene and made those folk rich and himself too. But in the church, we don't want to promote this. He said that's what we need to be doing. That's how we encourage our sons and our daughters, our husbands, our wives, our friends, our neighbors. We promote this. He said, promote it. He said, listen, let your discipleship demonstration life be evident to all men. Paul reminds us also, he said, you got to be all things to all men. He said, listen, don't criticize a man because he eats meat and you don't. If that's his thing, let him eat meat. He said, if he drinks wine, don't let him drink much wine. He said, but you don't want to condemn him because of wine. The thing that, and let me say this to you, and I the scriptures back it up. The Christian church takes everybody. We can't tell people, you know, don't you can't come till you stop smoking weed. You can't come till you stop drinking. You can't come. Listen, if that's the case, you know how many people are going to be here on a given Sunday? I'll be the only one left standing. Me and Miss Woodson. Maybe Miss Nowlin. I think we might be able to get Miss Nowlin in. The rest of us got burn marks and scratch. You know, the reality of it is that's why we're all things to all men. That's why we can communicate with the alcoholic. We can communicate with HIV persons. We can, because we are all things to all men. It doesn't mean we have to do it or even condone it. But we can be all things. And we can show the love of Christ to all. He said, just promote it. Just show by your living. And some of us, our testimony is our promotion. What I used to be. Let me tell you something. I used to be strung out myself, but the Lord, you know, I mean, that's promoting. Man, I used to drink so much, I couldn't drink no less. That's promoting. And say, look at me now. Say, man, really? I never. How many of you have ever told somebody one of your intimate details? And they say, I never would have thought that. That's because you're now living different. You don't want to give your testimony about your used to be, and somebody says, shoot, I knew that all the time. That means you ain't done much. You thought I didn't know that? Girl, please. I saw you sneaking off on them lunch breaks. The reality of our lives are we're promoters. If we're going to grow this church, as we talked about it with the finance group the other night, we got to do something different. We have to be the best advocates of ministry life. And it doesn't mean, listen, it doesn't mean that we try to hide everything, but we put our best stuff out there. So he says, okay, here's what you do. Notice now he's creating an exclusive. He said, but as for you, this is why, as we're doing on Wednesday with our separation life and character development, because we're different. He said, I'm not talking to everybody. He said, but as for you, you promote the kind of lifestyle that is in Christ Jesus. Then now watch this. He says in chapter 3, come on now to chapter 3. He says, wait a minute, I left my note off on reflect. Reflecting right teaching simply means that we are living what we're learning. We want to reflect that. We're living. Remember, we said that weeks ago. I told you to write that down as one of your notes. Living what you're learning. Your living is going to change because you're learning. Let me show you how simple that is. How many of you know that had you not learned 1 + 1, people would be cheating you at the cash register all the time? How many of you remember getting cheated on the big nickel versus the little nickel? Good morning. You remember that? I got beat on that one a couple times. I gave up many a dime because they gave me the big nickel. You want the big one? Give me that little one. I gave up all my dimes for big nickels. Didn't know no better. Some of you, Jasmine and Raven, and you probably don't remember the Kennedy 50 cent piece and the Eisenhower dollar. Got beat on a couple of those too. The reality is, everything you're learning affects your living. What if you had not learned to write? Remember how much we hated getting our hands spanked because we couldn't write them letters? Aren't you glad you can write now? Because if you couldn't write and read, you know how many times you would. Listen, it's bad enough we can read and then got tricked into them Hoover and Kirby contracts anyway. We could read and still bought that Kirby and then thought about it. Go, wait a minute, I'm paying how much for a vacuum cleaner? Come on, how many of y'all had the Kirby people play you? All right, very good. The meat man, how about the meat guy that come around selling the meat? The Swan's truck. Yeah, we done signed them contracts. We could read them, and then we thought about it. Wait a minute, hold on a minute. I don't eat that much meat anyway. But you got a 2-year deal now. DirecTV getting folk now with that TV. I hope y'all didn't buy that. Wait till you see what it's going to cost you next year. The reality is we can read and still kind of fall for it, don't we? So imagine what your life would be like if you had not learned. So why get to the Christian church and miss out on this great opportunity? He said, reflecting that you've learned. Paul said to Titus, look, man, let what you know show. Speak as oracles of God. Be that person they call for when the sick need a helping hand. Be that person. He said, listen, because you know. We search the deep things of God. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth. He said, listen, the Spirit is going to help us to search the deep things of God because the Spirit is what we need. You ought to reflect that. That you've been taught better. How many times did your mom or auntie or relative say, you know better than that? Because they know they taught you better. So he said, listen, you've got to reflect right teaching. Now, there's another side of that. There is some foolish teaching out there. He said, be mindful of those who promote foolishness. He said, because everybody that's calling on the name ain't in the name. He said, be careful of old wives' tales and fables. He said, those days are going to come, Timothy, when men will go after that. They'll have itching ears. We got people still do that in Lynchburg, Bedford, and Campbell. Soon as another church pop up, they over there. Yeah, see, I like the word over there because the word over there, they ain't, you know, and next, when they fall out with that, they hop to another church. Because they like, see, now that pastor, they're the prophet, you know, the prophet so-and-so is in town. And see, he told me that I was going to open my own business. And girl, I've been meaning to open my own business. You'll never open your own business. You don't get in God's business. He just itching it. He said, that's going to happen. He said, but as for you, don't fall for that. Now he's telling Titus, you've got to make sure that right teaching is reflected. Listen, how many of you know foolishness when you see it? Yeah. You look at people and say, now, he got to be a fool. And then how about this? When they think you're a fool, he's saying, you must think I'm a fool. I know that don't even make sense what you're saying. It don't reflect right teaching. What that LL Cool J made that song, Mama Said Knock You Out? That don't reflect right teaching, but that's what his mama told him. So that's what he did. Now he's serving time. Not for real. LL got a good job. He going to host the Grammys. All right, so he said that. Now let's go to chapter 3 now. This I'm going to read it because it's important. If you got your highlighter, you want to remember chapter 3 in the book of Titus. Watch this. He says, remind your people, those that you've been given assignment of, to submit to government and its officers. That's fine. They should be obedient, always ready to do what is good. That's good. They must not speak evil of anyone, and they must avoid quarreling. Good, good. Instead, they should be gentle and show true humility to everyone. That's a good character. Did y'all see what he said, dude? He said, look, stay out of foolishness. That's what he's saying. He said, and don't be going around putting fuel on fire. Speaking evil. He said, don't speak evil of anyone. How many? All of us know somebody that we could speak evil of. We all know somebody that's just jacked up. But he said, don't do it. Because you know grandma was right when she said what goes around. Paul even told the church, he said, your good can be evil spoken of. How many of you have done something really wonderful and somebody tried to turn it around to something jacked up? Well, the only reason she did that because she wants when you die, you to leave or something. Did you just thump your sister on the head? Did she thump you on the head? I thought as much. You go to the penalty box. He said, listen, don't do it. Now watch this. It gets really, he said, listen, here it is. This is the verse I told you we was coming to. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. Yes, we were. In your margins, you can just put right out there next to that verse. Yes, I was. Because we were. He said, once. We too, all of us. Now we're talking about Paul, who is the prince of poetry and scripture. Letters upon letters, epistle upon epistle. And he admits, he said, once we, he puts Timothy, Titus, all of us in the same little rowboat together. He said, once we too were foolish. Okay, we coming slowly. We're just waiting on everybody. Just going to make this a full house testimony. Okay, we got some slow people. Hold the baby hand up. We might as well get him too. You know, we were foolish and disobedient. Some of us are still disobedient. When was the last time you didn't do what your supervisor or employer told you? When was the last time you didn't do what your husband or wife or your mom or dad? That's still disobedience at any level is disobedience. He said, we were that way, but aren't you glad we serve a loving and forgiving, long-suffering God who is rich in mercy and grace. Because not only should we have been dead and sleeping in our grave, we were long overdue. We are past due on a. Remember grandma used to say, I'm going to get you for the old and the new? He said that. Now watch this. And he says, we were misled by others. That's how we got. Somebody taught us to smoke. Somebody taught us to cuss. Somebody taught us to steal. We were misled. Oh, it's getting quiet. We're going to need to get the oil out. He said, we were misled by others and became slaves to many wicked desires and evil pleasures. Didn't we? That's called addiction. When you become a that's the word we use now is addiction. We don't call it being a slave to marijuana or a slave to cocaine or a slave to. It's an addiction to alcohol. He said, we were addicted. We were, listen, it's right there in the text. Many evil pleasures and desires. We did things that we wish we had not done. But we felt that I can't help it spirit. What's that song my friends sang? Is it the Pointer Sisters? What makes you feel like doing stuff like that? One of them makes that song. I'll get the right one. But it's a question. Why do you do? Have you ever asked yourself why you do it? Thank you. What makes you feel like doing stuff like that? Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Come back to church, y'all. It's in the text. He said, listen, how many of us have to admit there were things we did that we wish we hadn't done? And we went into a state of contemplation trying to figure out, why did I do that? Waiting on the police to come. And they didn't come, and we felt like, whoo, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Then we gave God the glory. Lord, thank you, because I know I should have been. He said, listen, we were slaves to it. We couldn't break that habit. How many of us remember driving to a bad habit and knowing all the way there that I ain't got no business going? How many of us remember forfeiting a paycheck for a bad habit, robbing ourselves for a bad habit? And then later on, when things settled down, we sit there and kept saying, this is stupid. Paul said, we were there. No, watch this. He said, our lives were full of evil and envy. Watch this. We hated others and they hated us. My God, isn't that the truth? How about I can't stand so. You don't even know that girl's real name. I can't stand Tamika. You know that's not her real name, don't you? Well, you know who I'm talking about. That nappy head. You know, the reality is, Paul got us. This is why being a Christian requires our undivided attention, because we can't slip into old habits. You do know old habits are not too many doors down from where you live right now. Matter of fact, they got a GPS thing on your car, so they'll know where you're at. They'll show up on you. Thanksgiving holidays, Christmas, we haven't had a drink in years, and they got all that liquor on that table. Bad habits will follow you. We haven't smoked a joint. The cousin done got out in the backyard because it's a nice winter day and fired up one, and you caught a whiff of it. And you said to yourself, I better not go out there. Hey, cuz, come on out here and holler at me. No, it's right there. I'm making a little light of it, but it's the truth, saints. These things don't go away. As long as we're in this world, we got to deal with the world. Paul said, but that's where we were. But if we keep promoting right teaching and promoting right living and recognize the calling on our lives, we'll make better decisions. Every now and then, we have to just remind ourselves that I am who I am because that keeps me from doing what I do. In my mind, as I was growing in Christ and getting strong, I used to run the headlines. I used to call it running the headlines or the doorbell. I'd run the headlines and ring the doorbell. What are you saying, Pastor? I would say, what would it look like if the newspaper said? Or what would I feel when somebody rang my mama's doorbell and said, that your son? So that's what would discipline me a lot of times. Because I didn't want my mama to get that ringing of the doorbell or look at the headlines. Local pastor caught up in, I didn't want that to happen. If Minister White doesn't mind me mentioning, we were talking about her pastor back in home. We got a little trouble going. And we were able to go on the internet and read about it. And the first thing she said is, now, Pastor Hall is too old for that. But we don't want the headlines to read that. So that's why we discipline ourselves. Because we're saying, where I am now in the body of Christ, I don't want the Lord to be ashamed of me. I don't want my church family to say, They'll love me through it. They'll help me, I know, but I'd rather not put us through that. As my mother's famous word was, that's one you didn't have to do. So he said, listen, we were there. Now watch this. This is verse 4, turns it around for us. Turns the light back on in this dark statement about, but then God, our Savior, showed us his kindness and love. Notice who he said did it. Not mom and them. God stepped in. Ooh, I feel good at verse 4. And showed us kindness and love. God said, your mother and father have forsaken you, but I'm going to take you up. God said, your enemies have encamped round about you, but I'll be a hedge for you. He said, they want to kill you. He said, that roaring lion got you on his taste buds, but I'm going to shut his mouth. The lies are not all lies, are they? There are some truths that are about to be revealed, but the Lord said, I'll make the truth go quiet, showing you love. And how many of you know there's some stuff God kept from getting released on you? And it wasn't no lie, it was the truth, but God made it become, He said, when they came, they stood, they forgot what they were going to say. Y'all ever had that happen? Somebody was going to tell on you and say, I can't remember for the life of me what I was in here for. And you said, oh, Lord, thank you. How many of y'all ever prayed somebody got sick and didn't show up or fell and broke their leg so they wouldn't tell on you? Amen, Lord. Please don't let Susan come to work tomorrow. That's the reality of God showing love. Watch this. And ooh, it gets better. He saved us. Here it is. Not because of the good things we did, but because of his mercy. Gets better. He washed away our sins and gave us a new life. Here it is. Through the Holy Spirit. Don't ever think that spiritual life is not the way. He didn't give it to us through clapping our hands or showing up at choir rehearsal or coming to church. He put the Holy Spirit on assignment and said, bring new life. Because it's only through you leading and guiding the counsel of our lives. He said, this is how we got it. Watch this. He says, he generously poured out the Spirit upon us because of what Jesus Christ, our Savior, did. He died. Died, y'all. Not passed out. Not got dizzy. He died. They didn't take his life. He laid it down. He said, because I love them, I'm going to do it. Amen. Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob marveled that he could do it. He did. He did. He did. He did it pleasurably. They said, Lord, run. He said, no, we must needs go. They said, we can't go back down there. You remember they said they'd kill you. He said, I know. He said, but they can't take my life. I'm going to lay it down. Let's go, fellas. We must be going now. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have vanished. He could have vanished. First day with my new English. He could have vanished. He did it before. Remember when the crowds were thronging him? He just disappeared. They looked around and said, where did Jesus? That's fine. Lord, where did he go? He said, psst. He didn't do it. He was closer to Calvary. He just wanted to be prayed up before he went in. I think that's a good demonstration for all of us. When we're facing our Calvaries, we don't have to run. Just be prayed up. And when they come, you don't have to fight them. He said, listen, I've been in town all week. Y'all got to come at me like this? You knew where I was. He died. Watch this. He declared us not guilty. Verse 7. He declared us not guilty. What? Because of his great kindness. My Lord, not guilty. Look at your neighbor and say, you got over that time. Yes, sir. And the next time, and the next time, and the next time. We got over. He declared us not guilty. And watch this, and gave us a bonus. Not only are we not guilty, he said, and now. I told y'all that now thing always does something for me. When I see the word now in the Bible, that's one day at a time stuff showing up. He said, and now we will inherit eternal life. Notice how sure he is of the matter. He doesn't suggest a supposal. He said, oh, we're going to have it. It's in the text. And if it's in the text, we can count on it. He said, since Christ died, and we know he did, and has forgiven us, and we know he did, he said, well, now we get eternal life. Notice what he does not say. He doesn't put an if provision in there. He doesn't say, now, if, he doesn't do that. How many times have you ever had anybody give you some wonderful good news and then throw in it, but if? He doesn't put it in this verse, which tells me that the Lord is absolutely sure about the chosen. That's why when John was out there on his field trip at Patmos And the spirit, the angel of the Lord said, John, who are these? He said, sir, you know. Y'all already decided who they were. Lord, thou knowest. That's one of the best inclusive verses in all of the scriptures. So you go back and tell the Jehovah Witnesses that that 144,000 they're talking about leaves a lot of them out too. But we like that, Lord, thou knowest. A number no man can number. That's why the song came out, I want to be in the number. Whatever that number is, I want to be in it. They didn't say I want to play the number. They said I want to be in the number. Make sure y'all get that right, because some of y'all will leave the church going to play 144. That's not number them all. I know how church people is. Y'all done wrote down the scriptures and said, okay, first we'll play 112. And no, don't do that. He read chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, we'll play 210. No, don't do it. He said, watch this, gets better. He said, these things I have told you. Again, we're promoting. Remember, our responsibility is to promote the kind of teaching that leads to godly living. He said, we are telling you this. It's important. These things I have told you are all true. What do we have that supports the church more than anything? Truth. Not bricks and mortar. What this church stands on is that we have truth. Nobody can take that from us. He said, Titus, I'm telling you, everything I've said to you is true. Watch this. I want you to insist on them so that everyone, here it is, who trusts in God will be careful. That's called discipline, y'all. Being careful is a discipline. We've got it on our board. He said, I want you to make sure everyone, remember now, he's already made a division between those who say they saved and those who are saved. He said, there are those folk who claim they know God, but we can see by the way they're living and their absenteeism and their disobedience, their defiance. I don't care what they say, I ain't going. I ain't giving. I ain't giving up this. I ain't changing. That's defiance, which is disobedience, which is not a pleasing thing to God. If the Lord said, put down your stick, you put your stick down. Anything else is disobedience. Everything God asks us to do should be yes and amen. Everything. God said, leave your wife, tell her, honey, I got to go. Be seeing you. God said, leave your country. You remember Abram? He said, Abram, leave everything you know. And Abram, who hadn't been to a Bible study that we know of, heard the voice of God, recognized it was a voice he'd never heard, and said, I'll be seeing y'all. And Lot said, hey, I'm going with you. He said, Lord, is it all right this guy come with me? He said, yeah, bring him on. Good Lord of mercy. He said, I'm going. We've heard the voice of God most of our lives, and yet disobedience keeps ruling the day. We know God's been good to us. There's not a person in our community that has not seen the hand of God in the life of some believer. But he said, I want you to make sure that those who are accepting the truth, those who have given their lives over, he said, listen, that they're careful. And watch what he says to do good deeds all the time. Don't do good deeds just at Thanksgiving. Don't do good deeds just at Christmas. I guess I'm going to be nice. He said all the time. You know, good brings good. Evil brings evil. Good brings good. Evil brings evil. Just keep doing good. All the time. You too soft. I don't let what people say disturb your goodness. I don't see why you do that. Are you crazy? You always just give, give, give. So, you know why I give? Because I give. You have to give in order to give. I've explained it to you before. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father. Give so you can give. And the more you give, the more he gives. That's why and my God shall supply comes in. See, you got to learn how to link all the scriptures together, not pick the ones you like and put them over here and leave the rest of them off. Everything we do should be good. Well, the Bible said that. He said everything we do pleasing as unto the Lord. It's in the letter. So it should not be difficult for us to do good all the time. Even when our good is evil spoken of. You crazy. I ain't no way in the world I would have helped her child the way she talked about you. Kill them with kindness. And send flowers to the funeral. The Lord said, you do, watch this. He said, these things are good and beneficial for everybody. That's, again, I told you about discipleship demonstration. When you show forth your life like that, people say, man, you know what? Maybe she's right. Maybe I should go to that learning session and become a, maybe I need to go to the church you go to, because at my church, they don't promote that. My pastor don't require, maybe I do need to hear what you hear. Because I admire how you handled yourself in that situation. You do know that the eyes of the world are on us. People know when we've been done dirty. People know when they lied on us. And yet they see us continue to smile and stay in a good state. When people come to us and say, girl, you know she said such and such about you. What you going to do? I'm not going to do anything. Sticks and stones. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to pray. You're going to pray for her. Girl, she was in there talking about you. Man, homeboy, he was done. Pray. Trust God. And he said, this is what you do. Why? Because we're different. We have a spiritual foundation they don't have. You know, all other ground is sinking sand. We're not standing on sinking sand. We're solid. On Christ the solid rock I stand. That's your foundation. We're in Christ Jesus. And he is in us. We've got the text for that. Amen. So he said, this is what you do. This is your responsibility. As the chosen of God, from verse 1, chapter 1, as the chosen of God, this is what we're expecting from you. We should not be surprised when we see negative behavior, because we shouldn't have to see negative behavior. Do we have bad days? I suppose we do. But we got to fight against those. All of us had them ooh moments. Y'all know what like? When you go, ooh, People say, what are you doing? Child, I'm just thanking Jesus that I know him. Because you would have been down. How many of y'all ever had to have a moment to yourself? Ooh, Father. They say, who are you talking to? Not right now. That's important for us. That's when we take it to the rock. Y'all know that song, I Can Go To? That's when we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I am so glad, Jesus, that I know you. Because the bail bondsman would have been talking to me. He said, that's what we want from you. We want you to show good living. Because he said, listen, we're in an evil world. We know that. He said that we were once there. It ain't like we don't know how to let air out of tires. We don't know how to throw rocks and hide our hands. We know. He said, but that's not us. He said, but as for you, he's talking to the church. He said, what we want you to do is different. Amen. All right, let's go to 1 John. Slide, we were there. Let's go there again. Let's go to Hebrews 10, and then we'll go back to 1 John. Hebrews 10. I skipped a note. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Now, because again, None of us are going to get this without getting this. Okay? There's no automatic. Nobody is born a disciple. You have to be made a disciple. It's process. Okay? So I don't care. Minister Dixon has children and Minister White has children. Their children weren't born with an advantage. They weren't born disciples. In fact, when their children were born, they were still heathens in the world. They hadn't even called on the name of the Lord yet. I'm just clowning with y'all. I don't know nothing about nothing. I'm just making up stuff. But since I got it right, I'll call it prophecy. Discernment, thank you, the Lord. Notice what he said in Hebrews 10. Everybody there? All right, come over to verse 10. Hebrews 10, verse 10. He said, then what God wants is for us to be made holy. That's what he wants. You know, I got a book. I read, I think I've mentioned it to you all before. And that's the title of it. What does God want? That's what you need to know. He said, and what? Here's what God wants. The Hebrew writer is saying, here's what God wants. And remember, you ought to please God. How many of you want to please God? Very good, very good. Quick response, very good. He said, this is what God wants. For us to be made, which is what? Process. You know, we make things. One thing I love about our nation, our world, is we're very creative. We make things. And we make things to make things better. Y'all remember the Vegematic? And that commercial makes hundreds of julienne fries. What the heck are julienne fries? Well, I know what it is now. Julienne is a particular kind of cut. And the little thing, you know, and how about the can opener? Remember when the can opener, y'all remember the old can opener? You don't know nothing about the old can opener. But some of us remember the old can opener. We got to, and then it keep popping off. And remember the older one that went like this? And you could cut your finger off? And grandma and them wouldn't let you use it because it was dangerous. My grandmother could go around a can in lickety-split time. She was good. She would take that thing and punch it in. It sounded like a can opener. All she needed to do was a, and she'd have fooled me. And her can, it was perfectly cut. You know when some of us didn't know how raggedy it'd be? Grandma could work that thing. But now we got a can opener that adjusts to different sizes. Just put the can on it, and it'll hold the can by itself. You got fancy. We make things better. Remember cars that didn't have power steering? You had to turn like this. Now we can whip it. Get our swag on because we got power steering, power brakes. Remember when they have power brakes, you had to get on them early. And you had to go, whoa! An old car would slump down like that. Or you hit the brakes so hard, it go boom! Because that drum was kicking. Yeah, that, we make things better. So what he's saying now in the Christian church, we're going to make them better. What God wants is for us to be made holy. See, holiness is not a church religion or denomination. It's a way of life. So watch what he says. He says, and this happens, we just mentioned it in Titus, but we'll mention it now. By the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ one time. See, those who argue about salvation renewed, no, one time. Once we save, we save. What we do with that salvation, remember last week we told you that you had to put it on. You got to put on your salvation. You have to make it an active, aggressive acquirement. Active, aggressive, and I've acquired it. I got it now. I'm not lazy with my salvation. Every day I put it on. Every day I enjoy it. And it's a part of my life. It is how I make my decisions because I'm saved. It's how I do what I do because I'm saved. It's how I go where I go because I'm saved. It's active. It's, you don't just put it on. You don't get up on Sunday morning and go, Lord, what did I do with that salvation? No, oh, there it is. Ooh, child, I think I sent it to the cleaners. No. And we got to start fooling ourselves to think that salvation is a part-time part of our lives. You can't just be Sunday saved. That ain't enough for Monday. Sunday saved don't work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. You got to be Jesus saved. You know, Omega and Alpha saved. Yesterday, today, and forever saved. He said you got to do that because you've been made holy. You didn't volunteer. It came upon you. What must I do? That's why the question sounds like that. The question sounds like that because once they recognize it, they said to themselves, what must we do? They were sitting out there. They didn't come for that purpose that night. They just came to the meeting. When they heard the gospel in such dynamic demonstration, they didn't just hear it. They saw it in those men who preached it and looked at them and said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, repent, call upon the name of Jesus, and follow us. And they said, okay. They didn't say, well, where are we going? How long are we going to be gone? What time church going to be out? Who preaching? Do I have to put anything in the plate? They said, okay. And they were able to move communities from house to house and sharing bread. We talk about it on communion Sundays. We don't talk about it in depth. But listen to the sermon today, and maybe we'll help you a little better with it because that's my intention. But they were able to share and share not just their physical food, but their spiritual food. They broke the body of Christ continually. As often as you do in my name, they new salvation life was different. That's why they became separate and came out from among them. That's why when Jesus said that mothers would turn against daughters, fathers, that's going to happen because we're going to be separate. We're going to say, if you don't want to live this life, be blessed, Lelina Huxley, travel well, but I'm staying with Jesus. And sons and daughters, that's why we part company at times. You take the east, I'll take the west. Pray that your living is not in vain. So he said that's what God wants for us. Then come down a little further. In verse 14, he says, for by that one offering, watch this now, he perfected forever all those whom he is making holy. Oh, I told you we're being perfected. We aren't perfect yet, but we're being perfected. Look at your name and say, not yet, but almost. I'm getting there. Because the word says I am. That's why you hear the old saints talk about, I may not be what I used to be. You know, they're just saying I'm being perfected. They've got verse 14 in mind. And we ought to all keep verse 14 in mind. We keep laboring. Some of us, it's a little more difficult than others. Some of us been around foolishness a lot longer. Some of us grew up in houses where it was a requirement that we had to go to Sunday school and go to church and put our little dollar up there and mama checked our pockets when church was over. Y'all didn't get y'all pockets checked. I did. Got caught a few times. Then I figured out how to put money in my shoe. Oh, yeah. Well, I was something else. Thank you very much. But you can see God has done a great work. Yeah, I figured it out. I said, I bet she won't make me take my shoes off. So I would take my change, drop it down in my sock, and let it fall over in the bottom of my shoe. And learn how to, oh, yes, I was very cunning. I must admit, the Lord did a good thing with me. But I brought all them tricks and trades to the ministry. So I know how to use them on the holy side now. So don't try me. I know. Thou knowest. That's me he's talking about. I was the thou. Because the fact of the matter is, I was brought up in that household. So I knew. But there were some who were brought up on the other side of that, taught to steal. Listen, there were those who knew when the church folk went to church to go to the church folk house. My friends used to take stuff out my yard all the time because they said, well, I know you was going to be at church, but I know where you keep your stuff at. I mean, they wanted to play football. We had all the equipment. So they would go get it. Yeah, they give it back. Some stuff went missing. But I kind of knew who had it, too. But he said, listen, he's perfecting us. Watch. Why? Because he's already paid. One offering. Jesus ain't going to die no more for us. For nobody. He said, when I come back, it's celebration time. The dead in Christ will rise, and them that remain will meet him in the air. Boy, we're going to fly. That's why they make that song, I'll Fly Away. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going F-18 Hornet. I'm going to be showing out on my way up. I'm going to be rolling and doing tumbles. They're going to think, is that the Blue Angel? That's Leroy. I'm going to be doing some strafing movement. Them that ain't going, I'm going to strafe down and say, I told you. No, the Lord ain't going to let me do it. So he says, watch this now. He says, and the Holy Spirit testifies. He's speaking on our behalf. Okay? So we got that. All right, now let's go to 1 John. Slide on over to 1 John. See, this is important stuff, isn't it? We need to know that because the enemy doesn't want us to know this. The enemy wants us to think that we've been duped. There is no difference for us and them. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. 1 John, everybody coming over there? I hear pages. Come on. 1 John, not John chapter 1. Everybody there? All right, now let's go to verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Very familiar, but it's going to help us in a lot of ways right here. He said, now see how very much our Heavenly Father loves us. For he allows us to be called his children, and we really are. There's a now sense there, isn't it? He said, see how much God loves us? He said, look at the totality of your life. Look at the ups and downs. Look at the struggles. Look at the setbacks. See, what we've got to learn how to do as Christians is look at the whole picture. That's why when the Bible says in all our ways, acknowledge him. That means ups, downs, ins, out, rich, poor, sick, sad. We thank God for it. Even when we've been in a struggle for a lengthy period, we thank God that we still have the strength to get through the struggle. That's why the old songwriter was correct when he says, weeping may endure. Endurance comes, y'all. Some things seem to last, but we thank God. He says, see how much God loves you? Because you that could have, you know, when others have succumbed to things that we have overcome, we got to count that as a joy. When we look it up and say, ooh, man, I had that same problem, but I kept pressing. When folk have lost it, you know, I'm sure those of you who have television and newspaper have heard about the tragedy in Kansas City with the football player. 25-year-old young man. Something snapped there, y'all. You know, my son, we were sitting there, Adrian, he said, man, Dad, you know, he had money in football. He got, but see, some things ain't enough. Some things aren't enough. And some of us have faced certain things and we didn't snap. So we got to thank God for that. See how much God loves you? Some of us have had sickness in our bodies. We've had finance, romance. We've had all kinds of issues. But God said, no, I got you. He said, see how much he loves us? He said, and watch this. He said, and allows us to be called his child. That's a privilege. It is a privilege to be called a child of God. That's why that old saying we hear in the world sometimes has great meaning. Call me everything but a child of God. See, because that's what I am. That's my privilege. So you've called me everything, but you missed the most important thing. He said, listen, you have the anointing on your life. You have this union with God. We're one with God. Remember, my Father and I want to be one with us. That's the union of God. And he says, we don't want to break that. He invites us. He says, be one with us. That's your invitation. People say, I ain't never been invited to join nothing. You were invited to join the body of Christ. You may not be invited to a fraternity like Deacon Walker or a sorority like Sister Price, but you can be in the body of Christ because neither one of what they have is going to save nobody. I'm not picking on y'all things, but the fact of the matter is we've been invited. He said this, and I like this. He said, but the people who belong to this world don't know God, so they don't understand. Same thing Paul told Titus, isn't it? Same thing Paul told Timothy. Same thing Paul said at Ephesus. Same thing Paul said at Rome. You got to get to know him. Because if you don't know him, you'll never understand. That's why in 2012, we still have people going, I don't get the Bible. I don't understand that. I just don't see it. You don't know him. You don't know him. You got to get to in a personal relationship. That's why when Paul says things like, as for you, he's talking about individual relationships. And then he talks about us as a collective. But if you don't know him, you're not going to understand him. You never will. There's a way that seemeth right. But if you don't know him, he said, listen, they don't get it. Watch this. He goes a little deeper. He said that we're his children. They don't understand why we have this relationship with our Father. They don't understand why we call him Father. You ain't never seen the Lord. I don't say, but you don't understand. And I gave up trying to explain because they're not going to understand. The Corinthian letter tells you that. He said, don't try to explain spiritual things to non-spiritual people because they're not going to get it. That's why we can explain to them secular and molecular things. We can explain to a heathen the theory of relativity and they'll go, oh, I get it. But they'll never get God. You can sit there and explain to them stuff and they'll go, oh, yeah, nah. But try that. They'll never get it. He said, because they're not spiritual. God made you spiritual. We just read it to you. It is by the Spirit. That God, the Hebrew writer was absolutely right. This perfecting process is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's his assignment, and he's not going to fail. The Holy Spirit is not going to report back to heaven and say, I couldn't get it done. He's going to report, it is done. That's why we're going to hear the Lord say, well done. You've been good and faithful. Listen, a long time ago, a friend of mine helped me understand it. Our responsibility is not necessarily to the outcome. It's to make sure that we do the information. We're not responsible for the outcome. We're responsible to put out the information. The outcome is not our responsibility. We preach this gospel. Whether they accept it or not, Jesus told them that. Jesus said, listen, if they don't accept it, shake the dust from your feet, go to the next town. Lord, we preached, we sang for you, we played our harps for you, we danced for you. But yet, and he said, don't worry about it. Keep on going. There's too much work to be done to waste time on people who don't get it. That's why we keep going. We've got to press toward the mark. We don't have time for shenanigans. We got to go. We've got to work while we have the light of day because darkness is coming and no man can work. So we got to go. He said, then you got to understand. They don't understand. Then he says this. He said, I like this. Yes, dear friends, we are already God's children, and we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know that whatever that's like, that's what it's going to be like. And we're not ashamed. We're excited about it. He said, we're just trying to do the best. Listen, I mean, come on, y'all. How many of you have ever tried to get heaven in your mind and imagine what it's going to be like and keep coming up short? Because all we know is based on earthly things. Boy, heaven got to be something else. I'm telling you now, if you just think about, oh, my goodness. I've done it. I've sat down at length and tried to imagine. Forget about the streets of gold. I just want to see him. I can't imagine. I'm going to be tongue-tied. I get tongue-tied talking to y'all. Imagine me trying to have a little talk with Jesus. I'm going to sound like Fat Albert because or Charlie Brown teacher. Wah, 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 wah. He'll say, and I'll understand better by and by. You imagine? He said, listen, we don't even know what we're going to be like. So forget about trying to imagine what heaven's like. Imagine what you're going to be like. Can you imagine what you're going to be like in your transformed body? Oh, my goodness. No pain, no sickness. Never get tired. Singing praises to God all day on key. Wouldn't it be nice? He said, we can't even imagine. But we know that it's going to happen. Knowing God is tremendous. Amen. All right, now, let's go back to, you don't have to turn, even go, no pages need to flip too hard. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 9 says this, if anyone says, I am living in the light, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is still living in darkness. See, that's we can't do that. If you call yourself, again, remember what Paul told Titus now. There are those who say they know God, but their lives are defiled and despicable. So how can we say we love God and not love our brothers and sisters? Bless you, my friend. He said, anybody, ministers, deacons, trustees, choir folk. He said, anybody. Look at your neighbor and say, yeah, well. Anybody. Who said they're living in the light. Listen, we are lights. It is the description of the word of God that we are light. He said nobody takes a light and hides it. That's us. We don't have any closet Christians. We out there. How many of y'all ever heard somebody describe somebody when they say somebody's out there? That means they're pretty out there. You know, man, she out there, he out there. That means everybody sees them. They're carrying on. We're lights. And he said, and John says to the church, he said, let me tell you something. Anybody who says they are living in the light and hates a brother or a sister, They're fooling themselves. It's right in the text. I'm not making it up. I ain't throwing no stones. I'm preaching and teaching. He said, if anybody, preachers, deacons, trustees, doctor, lawyer, Indian chief, rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, if anybody says that they are in the body of Christ, living as lights, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is in darkness. Watch this. And anyone who loves other Christians is living in light and does not cause anyone to stumble. We don't set traps for each other. We don't set people up for failure. We encourage them to success in Christ. Oh, I'm going to get so-and-so. If it's the last thing I do, it might be. And if that's your closing report, you do know you have defiled your place with God. As my pastor used to say, you don't want to miss heaven on a technicality. The Lord is reading your final report and get down, and when you hear the Lord say, and yet then. You know, he read all the wonderful stuff you did and say, but at the end, you lost it. You don't want to do that. No, sir. And we don't have to do that. He said this, and I like it a little further. He said, anyone who hates a Christian brother or sister is living and walking in darkness. Such a person is lost, having been blinded by, you know, that's a bad blind. When you get blinded by darkness, that's a bad blind. Oh, the babies came upstairs. I thought my time was up. He said, anybody, it's not necessary for us to lose it like this. He said, we have to bring ourselves to accountability. We are living in an anointing that is without compromise. And we have to live our lives in such a way that we show the DNA of God. When they check our blood, it ought to be like the blood of Jesus. When they get our fingerprints, we ought to show we in the family. Get a little snip of our hair and put it under the microscope and say, it matches. We go on Jerry Springer and they pull out that thing and say, you are the Father. They're going to look at heaven and say, you are the Father. This one of yours. See, we ought to be glad that we're living in the family. We don't want to be disqualified. I don't care who my earthly father is. It doesn't make me no difference. I'm here now. I want my heavenly father to acknowledge me. Amen? All right, we'll stop there. We'll come back next week. The Lord shall say the same, and we'll pick up again. Are you enjoying yourself? I am thoroughly enjoying being with you. It's December, y'all. Isn't that something? Lord, wake up, Maggie. I really should be back at school. Yes, sir. December is upon us, Reverend. What us gonna do? Let us pray together. We're gonna do that. That's what we're gonna do. Merciful God, our Father, we thank you for the time we have shared here together. We thank you for this lesson called life. We thank you, Lord, for the words that have inspired us. And we thank you, Lord, for what we have come to know now better than what we knew when we first joined in this room. We pray, God, that we will remember that it is written and that this is the power of our life. And we certainly pray, God, that we will share this with others who may not have been with us at the beginning, and that we will share it with our sons and our daughters, our husbands, our wives, that we'll bring our families up together in Christ Jesus. Please, God, again, forgive us of our sins. Have mercy upon us, we do pray. Cleanse us, we pray, that we will live in the righteousness that is Christ Jesus. Let this day be a brand new day for us as we walk in the light of the Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.